third would be more general. So the first two are specifically related to having a bad dream, and the third would be related to the concept of dreams in general, how we view dreams in terms of should you care about a dream or not, and contradictions in different Gemaras. This one is more of a more specific discussion based on the following incident that took place this past Pesach. It's not incredibly common, in at least in my family, that we have such vivid dreams. Once in a while, someone will tell me that they had a weird dream or a bad dream or something like that. But generally speaking, it's not so common. I don't know. Some people are big dreamers. Some people not so much. You know, but in my family, I don't hear much about people, you know, having very vivid dreams. But it was the second to last day of Pesach, where I was sleeping and my wife basically started screaming in the middle of, you know, having some kind of a major nightmare. And she woke up and she remembered the dream very, very vividly. And she wasn't sure what to do. And she was like, should I fast? It's Pesach. Like, it was the second to last day of Yom Tov. She's like, normally I go to shul for Birkas Kohanim, but there's no shul. And there's nothing to do, like, to try to alleviate the feeling of unease that she had from having this horrible dream. So I said, all right, I said, try your best to see if you can go back to sleep. If you're able to, great. If not, then we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in the morning. So basically, she was able to fall back to sleep. So that already sent a signal to me that, although at the time she was very shaken up by it, but it wasn't as bad as perhaps a dream that you really thought was true and, you know, was definitely going to happen and anything like that. So that was one sign. So I figured, at this stage in the game, maybe we would suffice with what we call a hatavas chalom, since our options were a little bit limited. So we could try to do what hatavas chalom, which is for lack of a better translation, to sweeten the dream, to make it a little bit nicer and better than perhaps the dream itself would have been. So there's a lot of background Gemaras that talk about dreams in the ninth parak of Maseches Brachos. We can't go through all those different Gemaras, but just bekitzer, we'll go through this Gemara, which is regarding Hatavas Chalom. So let's take a look at the first source. It's Brachos Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. Again, if you want to download it for yourself, I put a link to a Google Drive in the chat, but if you could just look on the screen. So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis says, Amar Avuna Bar Ami, Amar Rabbi Pedas, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So this is said by number of Amoraim, citing Rabbi Yochanan, Haroech Chalom v'nafsho aguma. If a person sees a dream and he's very upset by it, so yelech v'yifterenu b'fnei shlosha. So what should you do? You should go in front of three people in order to interpret the dream. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, yifterenu? What are you talking about? Why should you interpret the dream? So if you have a dream that has not been interpreted, it's like a letter that has not been read, meaning that it has no effectiveness. So if you don't interpret the dream, then it's probably better that you leave it be and not try to interpret it. Elenaro. It doesn't mean you should interpret it. Ela ema yativena b'fnei shlosha. Rather, you should go in front of three people and they should do hatavas chalom. They should make it good. Right? So what does that mean? Leisei tlasav aleimru lehu. Let three people come along and they should say, chel matava chazoi. So the fellow who had the bad dream should say, I saw a good dream. V'leimru lehanach. And what are the three people going to say? Tavahu v'tava lehavi. Right? It is good. It should be for good. Rachmana l'shavi l'tav. And Hashem should make it into good. And then it says, Sheva zimnin ligzru alach min shemaya de lahave tava. So I'm going to read it the way Tosfos reads it. It says that seven times they should be gozer min hashemayim, that it should be good. Now, why did I say that? Vihave tava, and it will be good. Fine. So, So basically, the Gemara starts off by saying that you should go to these three people, and they should tell you. You should say it was a good dream. They should repeat back to you it was a good dream, and then they have this idea that for seven times they should be gozer on you from Shemayim, that it should be for good. And the reason I said I'm reading it according to Tosos is because it's a machlokas in the Rishonim. I don't want to spend too much time on this. Is the word Sheva Zimnin, is that part of the text of the Hatavas Chalom, or is it the Gemara saying you should say the following line seven times? So there are some Rishonim and even some Poskim who say that this line, you should say it seven times. Ligzur Alach Min Shemaya Delehave Tava Vehave Tava. That should be seven times, right? So the way Tosfos' second opinion and the way I explained it is that no, you should say as part of the text of the Tavas Chalom that in Shemayim there should be gozer on you seven times. Fine. Now once you finish that, which is strange enough, then what you should do is you should say Voleimru Shalosh Hafuchos, Shalosh Peduyos, and Shalosh Shlomos. You should say three psukim of Hafuchos, which, as you'll see, if you look, if anybody says V'yitin Lecha on Motzai Shabbos, so we say these three sets of psukim in V'yitin Lecha. So it's three psukim that discuss turning a negative into a positive. Then the next thing we say is three psukim of being podeh, somebody, something bad was supposed to happen, and being podeh that individual for good. And then the last thing is three times where we say that it should be, you should have peace. So that's the basic text of Hatavas Chalom. It's not a long nusach. So it's a little bit weird. It kind of looks a little like Hataras Nadarim because it's, you're sitting in front of three people. And therefore it kind of looks like you're going to a Beis Din to be matir the dream, but that's not really what's happening. What's happening is you're going in front of three people, and specifically these three people are not necessarily dayanim, they're not judges, and they don't necessarily have to be qualified. As let's take a look in the Rush for a second, and the Rush says in source number two, why do you go in front of three people? So he says, Laisi Tlasa Derachamile Vinemalahu Chelmatava Chazoi. You should go in front of three people who like you, who will have mercy on you. They feel positively towards you. So basically we start off by saying that we want there to be three people who are there who like you very much. And that's a part of the idea of having three people. We'll see a little bit later in one of the sources that it doesn't even really need to be three people. Just the reason we have three people is we think that'll make the person feel better. But the idea here is specifically these are not real dayanim. This is what I was thinking about that morning. I was like, can I use myself and my two boys, because they're obviously related to all of the parties, and nowadays you wouldn't be able to get much of a Din Torah going because you'd be related to everybody who you were in contact with. So I was thinking, like, are the three people have anything to do with being like Dayanim? But then I quickly looked it up and I realized, no, it has nothing to do with them being judges of any sort. It has to do with, it should be three people, Dafka, who care about you. And that's, so it's actually better that the people sometimes are related to you, because that way they will feel closer to you and they'll want to perform the Hatavas Chalom in a better way. So that's the Rosh Hashita. And then the Rosh says, where did he come up? And then the Madani Yontif, which is the footnotes on the bottom of the Rosh written by the Tosos Yontif. So he says, where did he come up with this Chiddush that it should be three people who like you? So he just says, Afa Pishenu B'Gemara Shalanu Svaru. It doesn't say that in the Gemara, but it's just, it's logical that it should be people who care about you, and they'll have more, you know, and I'm adding into what he's saying, but I think his intent is just to say that they like you, and they care about you, and therefore they'll have more kavana when they do Atavas Chalom than stam a person off the street. They have a person off the street, I'm sure he wants nice things, meaning I hypothetically want good things to happen to everybody, but I care more about the people in my immediate vicinity and certainly in my immediate family than I do about some random person off the street. So that's the idea, that it should be three people specifically who like you. That's the idea that the Rush brings into this. Now, I mentioned before there was a little bit of a discussion of should you say that? Do you say it seven times, or is it part of the nusach that it's supposed to be that they should make a gzera in Shemayim about you seven times? So if you look in the Tosfos, I mentioned this Tosfos before. He says kachu alachash sheva zimnin ligzuru alacha alecha. Right. So it says the text of the actual Hatavas Chalom is that that in Shemayim they should be gozer on you seven times that you that it should be for good, right? Yesh mefarish. There are those who say the sheva zimnin tzarich lomar chal matava chazoi, that everything should be said seven times. You want to say something seven times, v'chein le'anos acharav, and they should answer you back seven times. Avari lo yeragil omer l'shalosh pam. The re would say it three times. So what's going on over here? That where does this idea of saying something seven times and saying something three times come from? So basically, in general, one of the earliest sources for saying something three times. Right? I don't know. Can anybody think? I know everybody's on mute. You're welcome to unmute yourself. Can anyone think of something where we say something three times? Right. Think of a Jewish practice.
What's it called? The thing with the moon.
The thing with the moon, right? So we have we say those brachos three times, right? So by Kiddush Levana, we say Baruch Yotzreich, right, etc. We say those brachos three times, and some of the psukim there. Anything else we say three times? Kriyash Malamita. We say certain psukim three times, right? So these are also. It's what you're saying is absolutely correct. But it happens to be these are all later minhagim that we say them three times. But the earliest thing that I can think of off the top of my head that we say three times is actually relevant to the time period that we're in now, which was the Katsiras HaOmer. They would do the Katsiras HaOmer. The person who was cutting down the Omer would go down to the field where they would cut the barley, and he would say, you know, it was like they made a whole huge party for cutting the barley for the Omer, because there was a machlokes between the tzedukim and the prushim, like the rabbis and the tzedukim, what day Sfiras HaOmer was actually supposed to begin. When would you do the Sfiras HaOmer? So they bedafka made a huge party so all the people would remember, oh yeah, it was always the second night of Pesach that we had this huge cutting down of the barley for the Omer party, right? That's the same reason that they made a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a party where they would draw the water for the Nisuch HaMayim on the Mizbeach. Why'd they make a big party out of that? For the same reason that they wanted that people should remember that there is a mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, because the Tzedukim didn't believe in Nisuch HaMayim because it's not written in the Torah. It's halach l'moshe misin. It's generally assumed there's three opinions in Tainus where we get Nisuch HaMayim from, but the general assumption is like the third opinion that it's halach l'moshe misin. But nevertheless, they wanted to make it clear that everybody should remember that there is such a mitzvah, and thus they said that we're going to have a huge party when we draw the water for the Nisuch HaMayim. So too, they had a huge party for the Ktziras HaOmer, and when the Kohen would go down to cut down the Omer, so he would say, should I cut down this barley? And everyone would scream, yeah! And then he would say, should I use this sickle? Right? And everybody would scream, yeah! And then he would say, should I do it like this? Yeah, everybody! So he would dafka say it three times. So the Mefarshim there say that the reason you say something three times is always l'chizuk ha'inyan. You always want to strengthen the idea by saying it three times. If there's something which you have a suffix about, maybe it's not so clear if you if you should be saying it or not, and maybe there's some people who are unsure of it, so then we dafka do it three times to be mechazik it, so people will treat it more seriously. That's why when we do Hataras Nedarim, we do Hataras Nedarim three times. Why three times? Because Hataras Nedarim is also something that is not based on the psukim. There's Gemara and Chagiga, they try to find all these psukim that Hataras Nedarim is really based on, but all those psukim are basically an asmachta. Hataras Nedarim is essentially halacha l'moshe misinai, And therefore, people might not believe in it. People might not take it so seriously. So therefore, when we do Ataras Nedarim, we say Motorlach, Motorlach, Motorlach three times. We don't just say it once. So it's the same thing. Also, the Hadron, many people have a practice to say the Hadron three times. I think that's also more recent, but still, that because what are we saying? We're saying we want to retain the Masechta, we want to come back to the Masechta, so we want to be Mechazik it by saying it three times. Now, when it comes to the standard, just as this is a side point, when it comes to the standard text for Hataras Nedarim, I believe I heard, I don't think I heard this from Rav Schechter, but I heard from B'Shem Rav Schechter that you don't actually have to say the text of Hataras Nedarim three times, right? You know, they have that whole, you know, Erev Rosh Hashanah, so people, they line up in shul and they say Ataras Nedarim and then the Beis Din repeats it three times. But if you look, because the nusach of saying it three times is already built into the text. So what do we usually say? We say Akol Yeh Mutalach, Akol Yeh Shaurilach, Akol Yeh Machulach, right? So we're already saying it three times. They just made it a little bit more flowery than just repeating yourself three times. They said it in such a way that you're saying in three different ways, three different times that it's mutterlach, right? I think, and that's why personally, if I ever make a siyum, I don't usually repeat the Hadron three times, because I think it's the same thing. It's built into the text of the Hadron is that you say it three times. Because you say Hadron Alach, Daitan Alach, Lo Nisna Sheminach, right? So it's already built into the text of the Hadron that you're saying it three times. Not necessarily that you should repeat those words three times. Essentially, then you're saying it nine times. So here also, I think that's why the Gemara has you repeating the Nusach three times. L'chizek ha'inyan, because here, what's the... We'll get back to this in a second, but what's the whole idea that the dream, the Gemara, we didn't read this Gemara together, but the Gemara has a lengthy discussions of interpretations of dreams and what those dreams are supposed to mean. And then they have a long story of this fellow, I don't know if he pronounced his name exactly, Barhedya or Barhadaya, where this guy was a famous dream interpreter. But he was also not a very nice man. And if you paid him, then he would interpret your dream for the good. And if you didn't pay him, then he would interpret your dream for the bad. And this whole long incident with Rava and Abaye, and Rava refused to pay him. And he always interpreted Rava's dreams for the bad. And then Abaye would pay him, and he would interpret Abaye's dreams for the good. And then, but his secret is that the concept of dreams is that the dream always follows the interpretation. That if you interpret a dream in such a way that it's good, then it's going to turn out to be good. And if you interpret a dream in such a way that it's bad, it's going to turn out to be bad. So Rava kept refusing to pay him, so he dafka would interpret Rava's dreams for the bad. All right, didn't work out so well for this fellow. He ended up running away to Rome, and then he had to interpret a dream for you know, some kind of Roman official, and they ended up killing him. So it didn't in a very gruesome fashion. You can check out the Gemara. But the bottom line is that the Gemara stresses over and over that dreams are not necessarily inherent in terms of their meaning. They follow the interpretation that you give. So what are we doing when we do a Hatavas Chalom? We are taking what could be viewed as a negative dream, and we're interpreting it in the most positive way possible. And therefore, we're hoping that the dream will follow its interpretation. That's kind of why, so this happened when we're doing that Tavas Chalom. So my wife started saying over what happened in the dream. I said, don't say what happened in the dream. We don't want to know. We're just going to say that whatever happened, it was a good dream. We'll see the Mefarshim in a second, but you should think in your mind what happened in the dream, and in any way you can interpret that for the positive. That's what you should have in mind when the dream interpretation is going on. I think it's basically miyusad on this idea that dreams follow their interpretation, and thus if you interpret the dream in a positive way, then it's considered a good dream. And thus we want people who like you, and we want people who will say that it's a good dream, and we want them to say it three times, l'chizaka inyan, that they should feel that this is something going on that's meaningful and strong to be mechazek the person and to be mechazek the interpretation of the dream. This is a comment from the Drisha. The Drisha is Rabbi Yoshua Falk. He wrote two commentaries on the tour. One is called the Drisha, one is called the Prisha. They serve different functions. The Prisha is explaining lines in the tour, and the Drisha usually says his own chidushim. So here he's commenting on this idea, and he says you should find three people who you like. This is the tour quoting his father, the Rush. And he says, "Dikdek lomar v'nafsho aguma alav." Right? If you notice, the Gemara said specifically, if a person has a dream and he is feeling very depressed, very scared based on the dream itself, mishum she'af she'eno min ha'chalomos she'mis'anen aleihem. So this is specifically saying that even if the dream is such that it's not so bad that you would fast for it, v'gam eino merumas b'chalom shum dvar ra, and maybe even in the dream itself, that it is nothing terrible that was alluded to, meaning it's possible that you had a dream and it was just weird and it's weirding you out and it's depressing you and you're very upset about it. So he says, Mikol makom kevan de nafsho aguma alav yisane mishum de af de iu eino roe mazolo roe. Right? So he says, it could be that the reason you're feeling depressed is that even though you yourself, your, I don't even want to call it your conscious mind doesn't necessarily understand that this was a bad dream, but your subconscious mind, again, I'm loosely translating mazalo, you could say mazalo refers to his neshama, you could say mazalo refers to his representation in Shamayim, I'm just going to call it his subconscious, I don't know that that's Dafka the Pshat over here, but even if you consciously don't understand that the dream actually had a bad meaning, but you have this awful feeling that the dream was bad. So then it's Mishum Hachi Nafshaguma. Maybe that's what's making you depressed. Maybe that's what's making you sad or upset because the dream itself was inherently bad, but your conscious mind doesn't realize it. And therefore, you feel depressed. So here, the Drisha specifically says you should fast. But he's in the context of hatovas chalom. He's not yet talking about tainus chalom. So I'm not sure why he's interchanging the tainus specifically has what to do with the hatova. As we'll see, they can go hand in hand, but they don't have to go hand in hand. V'ka'ama derachme. And why did the Rush say that they should be people he likes, people who are friends with him? And this is what I was saying before, that the Drisha is bringing out that they should be people who care about you because most dreams follow what you say about them. They follow the interpretation. And we're concerned that we don't want the people having any kind of negative thoughts. We want them to think very positively about this person that they care about, and that way they'll have a positive interpretation of the dream. Okay, this is a sort of the background that we've explained so far, and let's just get to the halacha lemaisa. Okay, so says the Shulchan Aruch that he says haroa chalom v'nasho aguma alav yativenu ba'ape tlasa derachme lay, right? He should go to three people who care about him, who like him. V'leima ba'apayu chel matavel chazoi v'leim rinu tavu v'tavel lehavi, right? So he doesn't go through the whole nusach, but he says exactly word for word what's going on in the Gemara over there, and now. The Magen Avram comments, he gives you a little bit of background from the Rishonim. I'm picking it up towards in the middle of Sif Katan Beis in the Magen Avram, but he specifically says at the end of the Hatavas Chalom, the people should say to him, V'omrim lo, they should say to him, Lech b'simcha, go in happiness, meaning you should feel good about yourself. We took care of this. You don't feel bad about it anymore. And Echol lachmecha, right? Go eat your bread, right? So what are we talking about over here? So the Magen Avram seems to understand that when are you doing the Tainus Chalom, you're doing it after you already finished your, I'm sorry, I said Tainus Chalom, I meant Hatovas Chalom. So you're doing it after you finished fasting because of this bad dream. So first you had the dream, you felt really bad about it, so you decided to take a fast day upon yourself, and you fasted the whole day, and then towards the end of the day, when the fast is basically over, you should go in front of three people and do atavas chalom. And he says, and then at the end, when they do that tavas chalom, they say, lech besimcha, now go in happiness, echol lachmecha, and you can eat. Meaning you should feel like you did everything you could to be mevatel any bad part of the dream, and now you can eat, meaning your fast is over. Avalo yomru echol besimcha lachmecha, don't say to the person you should go eat your bread happily. Why? Do Roshei Tevos av avel, right? So he says, don't phrase it in such a way, echol besimcha lachmecha, even though maybe that would be more similar to the psukim in Tanakh, because there, if you put the three words together, it's spelled, the head of each word spells avel, right? And he quotes the Beis Yosef, quoting Rabbi Yudah Chassid. It's a classic Rabbi Yudah Chassid type thing to say. And he says, Vizeo kishemabitin lo l'ra'av acharatainis. This mativin lo l'ra'av acharatainis. L'erav acharatainis. Sorry, I'm mixing up the words. So he says, this is talking about when you do atavas chalom after the person already fasted. So what do we see? That part of the Tavas Chalom, if the person was fasting because of the bad dream, is that you should say to him at the end, Echol Lech Besimcha, Echol Lachmecha. Go eat your meal now. You should feel happy. You should feel good about what you did. However, don't hint that even that this could lead to an Avelis. Obviously, we're not saying that this could lead to an Avelis just because you said these kind, nice words that can spell the Rosh Tevos of Avel. Right? What are we so scared of that? But nevertheless, we don't want to, because what's the svara behind this idea in the Magen Avraham? What's Rabbi Yudah Chassid getting at? So it's saying very simply that the whole idea of Atavas Chalom is that we want to say as many positive things as possible so that the person will be subject to a good interpretation of the dream. They'll feel good about the situation, which will lead to a positive effect. If we then say something that even smacks of avelus, not in the actual words, the words we're saying are good words, but we don't want it to even spell out avelus in the Rosh Tevos, and therefore we're saying that you should mix the words around so it doesn't even spell out something negative. So that's all talking about if the person fasted. But what if the person is not fasting for the dream? Uveshalux kasuv. So the Rabbi Shai Horowitz wrote the very famous important sefer called Shnei Luchos Abris. It's called the Shalah Kadosh. It's a holy, holy sefer. It combines a lot of halacha and Kabbalah and drushas. And so the Shla writes, She yetivu lo b'shachris. You should do atavas chalom in the morning. Kimiyad shekibla lavatainis niskabel lifnei amakom. Right? Because really, and this is also talking about a case where you're fasting for the bad dream. You should do that tavas chalom even though you're going to fast more. So they're not going to say to the guy, lech besimcha echol lachmecha, because he's still going to be fasting the rest of the day. So why should you do it in the morning? Because once you accept a fast upon yourself for a bad dream, already Hashem takes that as a good sign, and it's perfectly fine to do the Atavas Chalom right then and there. Right, fine. And then he says, "Mishachalam lo chalom kasha al chaveiro yisana." Right, if you see a very bad dream that something bad happens to your friend, you should fast over that as well. Right, and then that's quoting from the Sefer Chassidim as well. From we quoted a couple of things here from Yudah Chassid already. Okay, so we're not dealing with Tainus Chalom this time. Next time we'll try to deal a little bit more with the details of Tainus Chalom. But here the Magen Avraham is definitely putting together Atavas Chalom with Tainus Chalom, but they don't have to necessarily be put together. But the Shalah says you should do it in the morning. And it's interesting, if you look in the Mishnah Brura, the way he relates this message, says Afil Eichashu Mesana. He says, even if you're fasting, you should do Atavas Chalom, Vitov Sheyetiv B'Shachris. And you should do it in the morning. Why? Kizriza Makdim in the Mitzvah. So that's a very strange interpretation. It's a mitzvah to do Atavas Chalom. So it's right, and he says, "Ach az lo yomru lo lech echol b'simcha." Right, obviously, at that point, don't say go eat, because he's still going to be fasting the rest of the day. right? So he says, "Imlo kishain misana." If the individual is not going to be fasting that day, so then you can end off the hatavas chalom by saying lecha chol besimcha, right? Because he's going to have breakfast. So they woke up, they did that tavas chalom. Now they go have breakfast. So you could say to the person, you should feel good about yourself. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're not fasting, then you can do atavas chalom first thing in the morning, and you can say lecha chol besimcha. If you're fasting, then don't say lecha chol besimcha. So then he adds in v'yizkor achalom b'machshava so b'shas hatava. The person who had the dream should think about the dream while their hatava is going on, but they should not repeat the dream at any point. They should just say, "I saw a good dream," and they should think in their minds that what actually took place in the dream. But they don't have to. Say over what the dream actually was. But it's interesting that you see clearly from here, the Mishnah Berurah says you can split the Hatavas Chalom from the Tainus Chalom. He says, if you're fasting, that's one thing. But if you're not fasting, so you can do that Tavas Chalom, you can do that Tavas Chalom without the fasting, and you should do it first thing in the morning because there's Rizim Makdim and Mitzvah. What on earth does Rizim Makdim and Mitzvah have to do with Hatavas Chalom? So, I don't know. Any suggestions? What meaning? You could say, what do we say? Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvah. The source was Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvah. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, right? When he did the Bris Milah, when he went on the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to do Atavas, to do these mitzvos, and therefore we said Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvah. What does this have to do with Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvah? Any suggestions? I don't think it's such a lum de shavart. I think it's something you can figure out pretty easily. Anyway, so I think the way I understood it was that first of all, one shouldn't think it's not a mitzvah to do Atavas Chalom. Who's the mitzvah for? I don't think it's the mitzvah for the person who had the dream. I think it's the mitzvah for the person who's being mativ the chalom. Meaning, you have this. If you have a friend and the friend is depressed for whatever reason, or the friend is having a really terrible day, you're going to tell me that it's not a kiyum, a high level kiyum of the mitzvah of chesed to cheer that person up. It's not a mitzvah to make that person, have some kind of a yishev adas that they can go about the rest of their day happily instead of being depressed and scared. Of course, it's a mitzvah. So to do atavas chalom for someone who had a bad dream, And to make that person feel better and be able to approach the rest of the day with a yishev adas, that's a significant mitzvah. And therefore, it's not necessarily that the people who are, the person who had the dream has a mitzvah to have the dream interpreted properly. Although you could argue that if something happens to you that's depressing you, and it's possible that sometimes you're just sad because you have something happen to you in life that makes you very, very sad, and you have to do your best to move on with your life, but you're going to be sad for however long it takes. But if there's something you can do about it, of course you should try to do something about it. So if you want to do Atavas Chalom, so you should do it right away. So why should you have to go about the rest of your day? In the case that I was describing where this happened on Pesach, so you have a mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv. The mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv is not just to eat meat and drink wine. The mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv is to be b'simcha. So if doing Hatavas Chalom is going to make you happier, or at least less scared or less disturbed, so of course it's a mitzvah to do Hatavas Chalom under those circumstances. But in general, we have a concept that Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. You should try to be B'Simcha when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes it's easier than other times, but we should do our best to be as happy as possible when we're serving the Rabbanu Shalom. And therefore, there's certainly, you could argue that there's a mitzvah of Atavas Chalom for the person who had the bad dream, but there's certainly a mitzvah for the three friends or the three loved ones to do Atavas Chalom for someone who needs it, because that will help them get through the day and feel a little bit better about the whole situation, that at least they put in some ishtadlus to try to work through it. And then one last thing that relates to the actual story that I told, the actual situation, which is Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Gimel. So he says, mitzvah limatzei, we did that already, mitzvah limatzei im hagimel lehetiv mipnei shemeshiv nasho bezeh ve'af b'shabbis yachal lehetiv chalom. And even on Shabbos, you can be meitiv a chalom. Meaning, you shouldn't think that this is not the right activity for a Shabbos, for a yantif. This particular case was not on a Shabbos, but it was on a yantif. And you shouldn't think that, oh, it's not a good idea to do a Tavas Chalom on a Yontif for a Shabbos. It is a good idea to do it on a Yontif for a Shabbos. It's not like you're convening a court or anything like that, which is going to be judging cases. It's a case where it's permissible, and therefore it's a mitzvah to do so if the situation warrants it. Okay, just to wrap it up in halacha, and then I want to just do this little comment of the Sifsei Chaim, if you look in this sefer, I don't have it on my Bar Ilan, so I didn't type it up. But this is the sefer of Shiurim of Rav Al Yashiv on Maseches Brachos. So they asked him a bunch of kashas about Hatavas Chalom, and specifically in this circumstance, let's say it's a question of whether or not you want to fast for having a bad dream. So next time we'll go through some of the actual qualifications for fasting, whether, you know, if a person wants to know whether or not to fast for a bad dream. But here are some of the shilas that they asked Rav Al Yashiv in this shir that he was giving on Maseches Brachos. So he asks, what happens if someone has a dream that their teeth fell out? Now, this is one of the things that's listed in the Gemara that is a very bad sign if your teeth fall out in a dream. So Rav Al Yashiv recommends, Tase Hatavas Chalom, Vegam Birkas Kohanim. So he says, under those circumstances, you should do two things. You should, number one, do Hatavas Chalom, and also you should go to Birkas Kohanim and say the Ribono Shel Olam. Right, the next question that they asked was, if a person... they had one of the bad dreams that it says in the Gemara. So Rav Al Yashiv jumped in and he said, "Chalomos lo malim velo maridin." That's a Gemara in Gittin. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to see it shortly. But he said, not today, but a different time. But he says that chalomos, they don't necessarily have to mean anything. So he says, so does the person have to fast or not? So he says he had a dream, and it's one of the things that it says even in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to fast for, which is that he saw himself standing on Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah time, which is a sign that you might be in big trouble in Shamayim. So Rav Al Yashiv said, "Shiaset Hatavas Chalom." You should just do Hatavas Chalom. And they said, doesn't he need to fast? So he quotes here. He says, "Lafia Chazonish Eshelahatir." So he says you could be matir, not fasting, and he quotes here. Where does he get this from? So he says that. What was the question? I didn't see the question. Are the dreams which are subjectively bad and not subject to dismissal vis-a-vis your friends making nice? I don't recall if the Gemara addressed that specifically. So the answer, I think, is that yes, there are some dreams that are objectively bad, but we say that rov chalomos, they go after the interpretation. So you have the right to assume, unless it's a specific thing that happened that we just view it as a very bad dream. So then basically we allow Atavas Chalom because we say that those things can be subject to interpretation. But if it's something which can't be subject to interpretation, then maybe that would be something that you have to fast for. Although Rav Al Yashiv is pretty adamant that he doesn't like fasting for dreams. He's of the opinion, he's quoting the Chazon Ish here in a letter, that Hatavas Chalom is enough, generally speaking, and he says, "Lamaisa, what does Rav Al Yashiv hold?" He says, "You should just do Hatavas Chalom if possible, and it's not such a big deal." And then they asked one more thing that they said if a woman has a bad dream, should she specifically go to three women or should she go to men or whatever? What's preferable? So he recommends doing it in front of three men. But you can't, and he adds, what about if she wants to send her husband as a shliach? He says, no, you can't send anybody as a shliach for Hatavas Chalom. She has to come by herself. And basically, he seems to be a big fan of Hatavas Chalom over fasting for a bad dream. So at least in the in the, you know, at least in terms of Rabbi Yashar's understanding, he seems to say that Atavas Chalom alone is good enough without fasting. All right. They kept, that's a weird book. Like, they just keep repeating the same questions, and he keeps repeating the same answers, and they just recorded all of them. Not really sure why they didn't edit out just to get to the highlights, but okay. That was, at least you know it's authentic. So I just want to close with this piece from the Sifsei Chaim. As always, the Sifsei Chaim has fascinating things to say on every single subject under the sun. So he has something interesting to say on Atavas Chalom. Also, it's part of a much longer drasha that he was giving, but this particular part of it is very appropriate for what we're talking about. So he says, "V'tzarech lahavin be'inyan Atavas Chalom." One second. Each answer has to be given three times. What do you mean by that?
That's why the question and answer was redundant.
Oh, fair enough. Yes, that is correct. Okay, my bad. I was being a little dense. All right. So yes, that is correct. Each answer has to be given three times. L'chizuk ha'inyan. Very good.
You couldn't see my smile in the blank photo.
I'm still yet to get used to the Zoom format. But okay, one of these days we'll figure it out. Hopefully, we'll get out of here sooner than that. But. Bezras Hashem. So he says that the Tzarech Lav and Binyan Atavas Chalom Lama Mevakshin Al Refuas Hachalom Vein Anim Espalim Al Bito Hachalom Bechol. He says, I don't understand why we have to pull this shtick and say, oh, it was really a good dream. You know, just daven that Hashem should be Mevato the Chalom and take care of it. It's not what's the big deal? Just say, Hashem, I had a bad dream. It's a sign that maybe something really negative is happening. But why do I have to flip it around and make it good? Why don't I just daven that it shouldn't, you know, whatever was supposed to happen shouldn't happen? Achein lefi dvareinu, according to what we've been discussing, now we're picking it up in the middle over here, but it's kedai to go back. I gave you the Mari Malkum over there, but it's kedai to go see the whole drasha, but just to put in parentheses what was going on over there. Kishyesh shorish gzera, yefsha levatlam, rak lehofchem letzaratov. Whenever there is a root of a gzera, for the negative, we can't destroy it completely, but we can turn it into something positive. So he says, this is a big yesod that the Sifsei Chaim was developing in general. It's important. It's a very fundamental idea when it comes to our own character, that we are born with a lot of inherent character traits, and we should never really try to become somebody we're not. We should always be ourselves, but what we should do is refine ourselves, take those kochos and turn them in the right direction and put them in put a positive spin on them instead of just trying to deny who we are. And this is true in heavenly terms as well. Dikisha adam cholem chalom yitachin shera b'chalom is a shorash ruchani sha'alula latzeis mimena gzeira lo tov. It's possible that he saw the spiritual roots of something negative that could have happened. Al kain ain malkam levakish lebitol chalom. Once there, those roots exist, you can't nullify the dream. You can't negate it completely. Hasibos kvar notzru shorash gzeira nikbu kvar b'shamayim, because it's already in motion. The plan is set, and you can't uproot those plans. Vahatfila hirak al refuas achalom lahafech es hasharashim aruchniim shekvar notzru l'gzeras tovos. But what we can always do is take those roots and turn them into something positive. And this, I think, is just an amazing idea for our own lives. Is that sometimes we're stuck, and you know, I think, you know, nowadays everybody feels a little bit stuck. Sometimes we're stuck in a situation we don't want to be in, and sometimes we have certain character traits we don't like. We want to get rid of them, but in reality, we don't have that ability. You can't just become somebody new with all kinds of new midos and new everything. But what you can do is take those exact same kochos. There's nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, whether it's in the physical world or the spiritual world or the emotional world. There's nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that we can't turn into something positive and flip it around and make something great out of it. And I think that's that's one of the things we can learn from the Yesod of Atavas Chalom. It's not our job to try to take the dream and destroy it and rip it out, because we can't do that. Kadosh Baruch Hu put it in the world for a reason, to show us that that this gzeira exists. But what we can always do is try to turn it into a positive and make it, you know, and just by our will, that it should be good, we can turn it into a chelma tava, into a good dream, and hopefully leading to positive things. Anyway, yashar koach, thank you for coming, and I wish everybody a good evening.